Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Well, this thing you and I are doing, I thought maybe we should discuss what it means.
Well, can't we just enjoy it and see where it leads? Why do we always have to analyze every little thing?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 22, The Anti-Prom. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
Anti-promly. And yourself?
Just fine. We want to tell you that coming up on our Patreon before we get into this episode, Again With This 241 is coming Friday, May 23rd. Let's watch Grant's show in When We Were Young. This is on archive.org. You can watch it. This is a TV movie from 1989. It was created by the creators of Dynasty, and it was clearly a pilot that did not get picked up. So This will be an interesting time capsule. Check it out.
Speaking of interesting, do not forget, our next call-in episode is coming soon. We cannot do it without you. We have a Tuesday, May 27th deadline that is coming up, so please get us your voicemails about the show to date, about the season 3 finale in particular. It is a series high moment. All of that can happen for you. Call or text 210-767-2237. Or you don't have to call us. You can record a voice note and email it to us. hello@againwiththispodcast.com. Please send us your voice notes. Send us your texts. We can't wait to hear from you.
Indeed. And now the anti-prom. Let's get into it, because it turns out it's not a magical night for everyone.
What?
I know. We open on Joey and Dawson wandering up to the Leary house, apparently back to their old vibe, as she stresses out about finals and he condescendingly tells her she'll do fine. He quickly changes the subject to himself and his nerves. Clip two.
There's an event looming on the horizon. And I seem to recall a certain pact made by two high school freshmen regarding said event.
Junior prom. Both agreed if we didn't have dates, we'd go together.
So you do remember.
Are you asking me to prom?
I don't want to go with some random person and have it mean nothing. You know, I want to go with my oldest friend. That'd be something I'll always remember.
Or we both agree that it's a meaningless event and not go at all.
But it does mean something. And there are a million reasons why proms are ridiculous and stupid, but we made that pact because it obviously mattered to us. It's a rite of passage. And I can't think of any better way to move forward than to fulfill a pact made by two old friends and just have a good time.
Okay.
Okay.
But I have two rules. No cheesy corsage for me and no blue, ruffly, tuxedo-y shirt thingy for you.
That shouldn't be your rule. Truly, please check out our visual aids. Her face, when she realizes what he's talking about, just is like a crumbling wall. It is, she's so bummed out. And just the like manipulative guilt trip that he has her on in every syllable in this episode is just, it's already exhausting. And this is like a minute into the episode. Dawson, ugh.
Yeah, just remember how he actually framed it when we get to the end, because theories are thrown all the way out, or, you know, claims, I guess, not theories. I'll also say every time there's been an episode about a dance in the past, they've both acted like they were above it and had to be talked into going on, you know, some kind of mission or whatever, but, you know, sure. Like, you know, him saying it's a rite of passage, like your senior prom is a rite of passage. Your junior prom is not a, that's nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, if this is like a small resort town where there's not that many year-round kids, I'm not even sure they'd have a junior prom, but this is the life that they have chosen, so sure.
So then Gail and Mitch stagger out the front door, furiously making out, and we all love knowing how Dawson feels about this shit, so great. Thanks, guys. After the credits, Joey makes a feeble excuse and takes off away from the Leary family drama. Mitch offers to talk to Dawson about what he just saw so Gail can get to the restaurant, but probably immediately wishes he hadn't because Dawson is a bitch about it, muttering, this should be good. And they go on, clip three.
You okay?
You know what? Yeah.
About what you just saw.
I just saw that as something I've seen about 5 million times over the course of my life.
Under the circumstances, don't you think we should talk about it?
At this point, I'm numb.
You're numb?
Yeah. I mean, you and Mom, you've always had a relationship that's been a little dramatic. All the while, I've been in the middle through all the backs and forths and ups and downs. A little while ago, I realized I don't need to do that. I can just kind of sit back, detached, and watch from afar.
Now, you can do that. But I think you should know that what's going on between your mother and me is a lot more than casual.
Are you saying that you and Mom are getting back together?
No, we haven't discussed that.
Okay, Dad, in that case, I would prefer that you left me out of it entirely. I'm enjoying the numbness right now. You haven't talked to Mom. You don't know even what she's feeling.
I was married to your mother for 20 years. There are some things I know without having to ask.
Like that your son is an entitled geese? Leave him out of it, if only to spare yourself him. Because he's so annoying. He's so Brandon in this moment. I just can't.
He is, but also leave him out of it when you hear him. Like, I mean, it's too late now because he saw. But like when you're hearing him say things like, I feel numb to this, like that's not great. It's not what you want to hear your kid say.
No, like he shouldn't be part of it for his own benefit, even though we don't like him. This is not something that you should involve him in.
Well, I mean, if it's going to be a thing, they kind of have to. But until you know it is, be a little more discreet, like do it at the restaurant when he's not there.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. Don't be, you know, tonguing each other while leaving the house where anyone could see you. So, yeah.
Yes. Anyway,
be smart.
Also go to the visual aids because I think in this scene, Mitch's shirt is inside out. And if that's supposed to be a subtextual sign that like they got dressed in a hurry, it's a little too subtextual, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Andy and her latest weird clippy updo, which you can, of course, see in the visual aids, are studying, again, not ergonomically, at a coffee table at Doug's place when Pacey wanders in, clearly trying to start a conversation she doesn't engage with. She finally asks if he wants her to leave. He doesn't, and then she has to pepper him with suggestions about what he wants until he admits he's sad. Andy tells him to get back out there, like, to the prom. He could go with her if he wants to. He's surprised she doesn't already have a date, and when she says she's sifting through offers, he asks if she wants him to ask her. I don't know who he thinks these offers would be from, by the way. I mean, we know they're fictional, but, like, she doesn't know anyone else unless she's going with Jack.
No.
She's not going.
Yeah.
She just wants to see Pacey happy again. He doesn't think the prom is magically going to get him there, so she should go with one of these other supposed suitors. And at the B&B, Joey's telling Bessie about Dawson's invitation. And whereas in the last episode, Bessie was all, let them fight, now her only response is a slow, weary head cock, which we get it, girl, believe me. Joey adds that she thinks she's made a huge mistake accepting, even though Dawson said they would be going as friends. Again, remember that later. Bessie unhelpfully says Joey should have known that accepting would just put her back in the boys' tug of war. Joey is just trying to get things back to the way they were, and Bessie says she can't be that naive. Joey doesn't think she has a choice, or at least none that are appealing, so she needs Bessie to give her the magic answer. Joey huffs that Betsy has been a bit lax in the advice department lately. Betsy says if Joey brings her a problem that has a solution, she'll solve it. And Joey admits she's right. No matter what Joey does, someone will get hurt, including Joey herself. It's a no-win situation. For real. She's right.
Yeah.
Then we're at school, where Andy's eating lunch and glaring at the table where a volunteer is selling prom tickets. After muttering that prom can kiss her ass, Andy tells Jack she thought Pacey would ask her, but no, she has to humiliate herself by going alone. Jack thinks that's better than going with an ex she's still not over, which she denies is the case. In fact, she's so over him that she believes going with Pacey will be safe. And by way of answer, Jack just takes a dubious bite of pudding, which you can see in the visual aids.
Band name, called it.
Dispiritedly, Andy asks if he got his tickets yet, and he's working on it. Clip 4.
You see the theme this year? Couples. They're going to have every couple's names on the balloons, on the little place cards, and the cheesy prom souvenirs.
So?
So when you go to buy your tickets, I mean, you got to say who you're bringing, which basically means I have to march over there and tell the world that I'm bringing a guy to the prom.
Don't you think that when you show up with Ethan at the prom that they're going to kind of figure out that he's your date?
He's not my date. We're just going as friends. He calls it taking the next step towards self-acceptance and actualization, whatever the hell that means.
I mean, exactly. But also, the theme is couples?
That's not a theme!
That's not a theme. That's like making it dancing or
right
dresses. Like that's not a prom theme. Under the Sea is a theme.
Right. Yes. Our prom theme is graduation. Okay, no, back to the drawing board.
Our prom theme is duh. Oh. Neat.
But I mean, truly, if Jack really meant it, that he and Ethan are going as friends, like, maybe you should have just asked your old friend Joey, and then you could have gotten her out of all of this, and you would have actually gone as friends. Alas.
Yeah. Not have to have dealt with actualization, because what does that mean? Especially, yeah, we're going to see that there's a decided lack of actualizing in the first person, but we will get to it.
I will say, I mean, it's nice to see. He's even annoying when he's off screen, because.
Yeah.
Andy says it's not like Jack to care what other people think, but he points to the volunteer who is a certain Barbara Johns we've never seen before. And outside we see Jen has decided her reaction to the prom is to be Daria about it, because we're back doing this again. Clip 5.
God, is there a more ridiculous and embarrassing ritual than the prom? The way that it totally reinforces traditional gender roles, rewards the cool kids, punishes the geeks. I mean, you know, the pressure that this one single night exerts on the common teenager to make hollow, awkward, romantic gestures like pinning a cheap corsage on taffeta, having drunken sex with some guy whose name you won't even remember, and then puking in the back of some cheesy-ass rented limo. I mean, it's all just so overwhelming.
You've never been to a prom before, have you?
Well, no. But I know enough about him to know it's just a sad...
So in other words, you're asking me to go?
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Great.
Cool. Have fun.
Well, I mean, they won't. But also, Jen, like, no. Just be normal. Not everything has to be a political statement. Again, no one is making you go. You don't have to go. Just don't, if you think it's this dumb. But if you don't...
Yeah.
Be normal!
I mean, this is the problem with the protesting too much character. Mm-hmm. Like, if, you know, you don't have to go and you would be well within your rights to save your money that you earned at the mall and spend it on not this, but because this is a teen soap, like, you know, you're all going to have to go so you can fight and cry.
Right.
Find another way to object. I don't know.
Jen going or not isn't a political statement, but some things are, and we are reminded of that when Jack goes to buy his tickets from Barbara, who intrusively demands all the details. Clip 6.
Excuse me?
Ethan Brody. E-T-H-A-N.
A boy cannot go to the prom with a boy. The definition of a prom date is a boy and a girl.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's any of your business.
To be honest, I don't understand why you feel the need to cause a spectacle and ruin the prom for the rest of us. But if you feel you have to do so... I can't sell you a ticket until I talk to Mrs. Meyer, head of the prom committee.
What, you're not going to sell me a ticket?
What exactly is it the two of you will do anyway? Take a nice prom photo for Grandma's photo album? dance stubble cheek to stubble cheek, share a romantic kiss under the moonlight? I mean, you don't think that's going to weird out even the ones who are sympathetic to people like you?
You can't do this.
Like I said, Jack, I'll check with Mrs. Meyer and you can come back and try again. Next.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know what to do here where it's like, okay, I don't want to go to this dumb prom if you're going to be this much of a bitch about it. But at the same time, it's like, oh, you're saying I can't go. I guess I really want to go now. That's not what ends up happening. But regardless.
Mm-hmm.
As Jack leaves, Dawson takes his turn when he tells her who his date is. Barbara burbles something about the happy couple being back together. And as Pacey eavesdrops, Dawson doesn't exactly deny it. When Dawson sees Pacey watching him, they have a charged look, but no dialogue, leaving Pacey to mope. And outside later, Andy and Joey are flanking Jack on the stairs at school, assuring him that they will fight this civil rights violation. Dawson is also there, not participating. Andy confidently says they'll get Jack his tickets for free and also make Barbara apologize in front of the whole school. Jack hides his face, begging them to stop as they keep strategizing, telling them he just won't go. Joey says at this point it's political, but Jack says prom is supposed to be fun and he doesn't know why his whole life has to be a fight. Andy says it just does, and Joey adds that they'll be with him all the way, and Jack mopes that he just wanted to go to the prom, so Andy says that if he's not going, she won't either. Joey readily agrees, which is finally what gets Dawson's attention, and as Andy goes on about boycotting, Dawson breaks in to say he has a better idea and one that will allow him to manhandle Joey in her formal wear, not that he says that part. He suggests they all hold an anti-prom, which won't be about who you bring, but who you are. The girls like it. And finally, Jack says they couldn't have an alternative prom without a couple of gay guys. And Joey smiles at Dawson, the obvious puppet master, like, don't affirm him.
No.
Don't give him what he wants. Don't let him use Jack for cover. Anyway. Smash cut to the restaurant where Dawson's pitching his parents on the idea of letting him hold the anti-prom there. I assume Mitch is officially no longer employed by the school in any way, because doing this would probably be an issue if he were, but they agree and make sure he knows they'll be on the premises. And when Dawson leaves to put up flyers, Gail comments that Dawson doesn't seem too scarred by the previous day's events. Mitch repeats that Dawson feels numb about it. Gail's not sure that's a good thing and is right, but Mitch says he did seem okay. Then Gales gets distracted by some bad sauce and is trying to fix it when Mitch quietly says he thought they were going to talk about what they were doing. She'd rather just enjoy it and see where it leads. And as she turns her attention back to the sauce crime, Mitch tries not to lose his mind. And back at school the next day, the alternative prom now has a professionally made banner over its table, which Jack and Andy have set up right beside Barbara's for any attendees looking to subvert the dominant paradigm. So we may assume Jen was the one who had it made. This is why you don't let her do these things.
Yeah. Or like set up in the town square. If it's not a school event, why is the school allowing these tickets to be sold in the cafeteria?
That would definitely not be allowed for that reason. And also because it says on the banner, their tickets are half the price of the official prom, which is the other issue. Jack comments that this might actually be a success, and Andy judgmentally chirps, in a manner of speaking, as a punk slash goth couple appear to buy their tickets. And this is another theme of where I'm not sure everyone writing this was on the same page of like what they were trying to accomplish, because there's a lot of snarking about who is going to the anti-prom and what is acceptable for them to look like, considering what the idea is supposed to be.
Yeah. And if you're going to judge this goth couple for anything, let it be that they're minimum 30 years old.
They sure are.
Like, yeah.
Barbara also has thoughts. Clip 7.
Just because the dregs of society go to your prom does not make it a success. Nobody that matters would be caught dead there. I certainly wouldn't go if you paid me.
Oh, that's a good thing, because we don't want your kind at our prom.
And what kind is that? The good Christian kind?
You know, this is not about religion, Barbara. I mean, the kind that hates people. You know, the intolerant, judgmental, hypocritical kind. Close-minded, immature, bigoted kind.
With bad fashion sense.
Really bad.
Look, at least I'm not going to hell.
But that's it? That's your whole comeback?
I'd say the threat of eternal damnation is a pretty good comeback.
Yeah, well, that threat is not yours to make. You just don't get it, do you? And you're totally missing the point.
Next!
You guys hate each other. Yeah. Like, if you're going to tell Mrs. Meyer anything, tell her they're competing with our tickets. Tell them to do it somewhere else.
Yeah. Although, really, like, you can't hear it, but a whole lot of, ew, like, face and hand acting from Monroe in this one that is very good. And Kersmith, like, Jack is annoyed enough that Kersmith's filly is coming out a little. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get it. Like, oh, give me a water ice. Yeah.
In Jen's room, Grams is altering one of Grams' old suits for Henry to wear, so at least he's not wearing whatever new romantic nonsense Jen put him in for that homecoming ball. Thank God. Henry says he feels like a busboy. Grams says it's men's burden to recede into the background and let their lady dates shine, but Jen thinks Henry shines on his own. When Grams goes to make tea, Jen tells Henry it's time they had the prom sex talk. Clip 8.
Come on, Henry, like it wasn't going to come up sooner or later.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay, tell me that you weren't thinking that you, me, and the prom didn't mean the distinct possibility of a little drunken backseat rented limo, Nookie.
I didn't rent a limo, I...
Okay, that's not the point. The prom puts a lot of pressure on kids to do it just for the sake of it. And you end up doing it 15 minutes before curfew, and it's completely unromantic, and it's way too fast, and it just generally sucks. And you can never take that back or change it, so... So I thought that maybe we could make the decision right now that not to do it.
Oh, I'm in no race. You know that. But We are going to do it eventually, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, like, not that I enjoy Jenry, and I'm very excited for it to be at an end, but, like, you did it already, so why don't you just do it now? Then you don't have to worry about your stated concerns.
Right.
Also, the expression is, I'm in no rush. Mm-hmm. Give him another take. He needs it.
Also, by the way, the next one is his last episode, as Sarah indicated, and I'm pretty sure they don't have sex before he leaves, so, I don't think
they do
either. She kisses him, which is neither a yes or a no, but it's a no, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Then we're in Andy's room, where Pacey has stopped in to ask if she's going to the alternative prom. Clip 9.
Oh, you are not going to believe what I did today. I threw my ticket back in Barbara John's face. Get what that witch said to me when I bought it. Oh, that is so brave, Andy. A girl going to the prom alone.
Why would you go to the prom alone? I thought you were sifting through offers.
Yeah. Well, turns out that I didn't have any.
So why didn't you just tell me that?
Because I didn't want to pity ask, okay? And it doesn't matter anyway, because all of my friends are going to be there. And at this point, I'm just going to support the whole stupid alternative prom thing.
Well, you should have been able to tell me. And it wouldn't be a pity ask, because it can't be pity if it's an honor.
Come on. This guy.
I know. Ugh. Turn it off, Witter. Jesus.
Well, he can't. He gets up and very formally invites Andy to the prom, and she accepts. And then there is not even a commercial before it's the prom. Dawson shows up to the B&B in his moderately oversized tuxedo to retrieve Joey, who is, of course, in a black satin gown with a square neck and spaghetti straps, which was the style at the time.
Sure was.
And even in kitten heels, Joey starts out slouching. And I want to criticize Bessie's clunky sandals, but they are so back. I have a pair, so I can't. She makes Joey and Dawson get together outside for pictures. Joey tries to cut it short, I guess not just because she's being made to cuddle up with Dawson, but as Bessie says, because Joey has always hated having her picture taken. And I seem to recall a certain very humiliating photo shoot with a college art student to the contrary, but whatever. Bessie asks where her corsage is. Dawson says they made a deal that he wouldn't bring one, but he does have diamond earrings on loan from Gail, like at the Oscars, he says. Joey nervously says she can't take them because what if something happens? Dawson doesn't know what might happen to her earlobes because he's an idiot. They are hook. I wouldn't take them either. I don't need this responsibility.
Me neither.
Joey does a shruggy half smile for the last photo. And as guests walked in to the restaurant, including one girl with angel wings on the back of her dress and another with a large tattoo between her shoulder blades, Gail comments on the interesting crowd. Mitch tells her to lock the cash register. Jesus, you guys, what the fuck?
Why wasn't that already done?
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Right. You're not serving, you're not selling food.
No.
Anyway, inside, Jack is silently stewing at a table next to Ethan, who breaks the silence with this clip 10.
Hey, can you believe we wore the same thing? Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty funny.
It was.
You know, Jack, I'm not expecting you to dance with me if that's what you're worried about.
Oh, I'm not worried about anything.
I'm not worried about anything. Turn down the music or give him another take, mumble mouth.
Yeah, really. That was a pretty funny line.
It was good.
Ethan. I was like, I didn't remember exactly how this went. Like, I remember certain scenes from this time of the show, mm-hmm. completely out of context, like Henry's, like the sort of end of Henry.
Right.
I remember Graham's like flipping a bitch in the station wagon,
of course.
Like completely screeching tires. I mean, him, but I do remember it. And I remembered them in these two in the train station at the end of the episode, but then like, I don't remember any outcomes from it. But I really, so as a result, like the scene started and I was like, oh, is Ethan gonna, is he like turn it around and then it all goes bad? Not exactly.
Alas.
It was a cute line though.
It was. Fortunately, Jack is spared from not making further small talk when Henry, Jen, Dawson, and Joey all show up. Everyone is shyly settling in when Pacey shows up with Andy, who has tried a curl situation that has turned her hair to straw. You can see this in the visual aids. It is so cruel what they did to her. Her everyday hair is better than this. It looks so dry.
Yeah.
Instead of making a scene for once, Dawson asks Joey to dance to the emo girl It's Not Unusual cover that has just started up. And Pacey watches from the table as Dawson moves a mournful looking Joey around the floor. On the dance floor after the commercials, Jen nervously asks Henry what he's thinking. He's not thinking about sex, okay, he says. Jen says he's allowed to think about it. It's just that tonight it's not a factor. Over to the photos, waiting their turn. Ethan tells Jack he's glad Jack had the courage to bring him clip 11.
I know it's not easy. Even for me, when, you know, when Brad and I first told people what was happening,
can we maybe put a pin in the when I was a young gay boy stories for tonight?
It's not providing me with a lot of solace right now. What I was gonna say, Jack, is that Brad and I never did anything together. In fact, for all my bravado, I've never asked a guy to anything like this. You mean all that crap about actualization you've never actualized? I guess I thought it was a hurdle we could jump over together. At my high school prom, where you know no one and I know everyone? Tell me, how together is that, Ethan?
So you win in the courage department?
No, I don't. Because I was tricked into it. Courage would have been telling you that I'm not ready for this, that however healthy this might be for my sexual identity, I really don't want to be here right now.
Well, I'm sorry.
So am I.
Where are you going?
I'm going to get a soda. You know what? I was wondering, wise, gay, sage that you are. Coke, Diet Pepsi, what's better for my self-actualization?
I mean, like, yes, agree. But also, like, I don't know, it just sort of feels like it's too soon for you to be, like, torquing this. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, try to enjoy it more. He's full of shit. Enjoy. Just
yeah.
Leave. I don't know.
Also, the soda that you want is cherry 7-Up. Sorry. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Henry and Jen. She tells him there are topics they could talk about other than sex, like what they're going to do this summer. She's got a bunch of plans for day trips they could take, and Henry says that sounds fun when he gets back from football camp, which is 8 weeks in Cleveland, starting at the end of June. Jen is furious he's only telling her this now and tells him sex tonight is definitely off the table, and that's the first inkling he's had it was ever on the table. But she sputters that she only told him they definitely weren't going to have sex to take the pressure off, but of course there was a chance. It's prom. And then Pacey sadly dances with Andy in her awful hair while Joey does likewise with her okay hair with Dawson and his awful hair. No. Joey takes this moment to ask whether Dawson invited her to the prom so that he could take jabs at Pacey. Dawson says he didn't know Pacey was even going to be there. Clip 12.
You don't think I get the subtext of every one of those looks you keep throwing his way? I mean, Dawson, you might as well get on the PA and scream, "She's mine, Pacey. Ha, I win."
Actually, that's not what I'm thinking.
Then what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, what right did he have to show up to my mother's restaurant at prom that I organized? What exactly is he trying to accomplish?
Now, given the circumstances under which this night originated, what right do you have to exclude anyone?
I'm not excluding Joe. I haven't said a word to him.
Right. It hasn't stopped you from parading me around all night like I'm some sort of a prize.
Parading you? I'm not parading you around, Joey. You're my date, and I'm dancing with you. It's not my fault if you keep staring at us.
You're right. None of it's your fault. None of it's anybody's fault. It's just happening. And who cares what it's doing to me?
Okay. You know, let's just start over, okay? It's just Dawson and Joey at the prom. Having a good time. Okay?
Well, she's crying, so no.
No.
What the
and
fuck?
What is that tone? She's not four.
Ugh. Worst.
Jesus, yeah.
She tells him she needs a breather, but instead of leaving, she only gets as far as the deck, where she sees Jack already there and jokes about them making a run for it together. Oh my God, do it. Like, remember
yes,
when these
God,
two were friends?
Do it.
Again,
yes.
I'll mention it. That was nice for both of them.
Uh-huh.
Joey asks what he's hiding from, and he says Barbara. Joey's shocked that Barbara's there, but Jack says she's not, but she is. Barbara was right. He doesn't belong there when he's not going to dance with Ethan or have his photo taken with Ethan and ruined whatever good time they might have had with the way he treated him. Joey remembers last year when all Jack could think about was the pain and loneliness that made his life different from everyone else's. And he replies that now he can just see the pain and loneliness that makes their lives the same. Again, good line.
Mm-hmm.
Joey doesn't answer, so he says he knows what it's like to hide from something you want. Joey claims she just wants everything to go back to the way it was, all of them friends and her not caught in the middle. Jack says she'll have to set the example. Dawson and Pacey won't do it themselves. No, don't tell her that. There's nothing she can do. Like, this situation is fucked until she actually decides to do what she wants and then lets Dawson accept it or not.
Yeah.
Inside, Gail is dancing with Mitch and tells him that she packed a bag in the hopes that she could stay over. Mitch isn't here for her whims. When she giggles at that, he says they've only gotten here by being honest with each other and he can't keep playing this game. He wants to know what this is. When she asks what he wants it to be, he says it's her turn to define that. And elsewhere, Joey drifts up to Pacey and asks him to dance. He accepts, but as soon as they're in close proximity again, they're both about to explode with horniness. Clip 13.
How come this feels so right?
Go as those dance lessons.
No. Where did you get those?
Earrings.
They're not you.
Why, because I'm just a poor tomboy, or Dawson gave them to me?
Neither. See this? This is you. It's not showy or gaudy. Just simple. Elegant. Beautiful.
It's my mom's bracelet.
I know.
How do you know?
Well, because you told me. 6 months ago. You were wearing that blue sweater, the snowflakes that you have. You were walking down the hallways at school. I was annoying you as per usual. I said, look, Pacey, I just found my mother's bracelet this morning, so why don't you cut me some slack?
Remember that?
I remember everything.
Oh, my God. I'm pregnant. Thanks a lot.
Honest to God.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
It's too much.
I know it is.
Ugh.
You win. You're the best. But also, I'm glad that the writers remembered the dance lessons. I had almost forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, thank you. Someone looked at a show Bible.
I know. Amazing. Hoorah. That was this season.
I know. God, were we ever so young?
It's not even like with 90210 and Melrose where it's like, oh, that was 23 episodes ago. It's like, no, that was probably like 12.
10. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Pacey holds Joey closer as their exes watch them. Andy tearing up but resigned, Dawson looking betrayed and then flouncing off. Joey makes the mistake of running after him, and we get this clip 14.
Oh, God.
How could you do that to me? Are you trying to hurt me?
No! I'm trying to set an example. I'm trying to get things back to the way they were.
You can't go back to the way they were. Joey, don't you get it? You can't climb through my window, pop in E.T. and have it be the same, okay? You can't dance with him at the prom I organized and expect me not to be hurt.
You said tonight was about you, me, and our friendship. And if that was really the case, it wouldn't matter who I danced with.
I said tonight was about moving forward, Joy. What did you think that meant? You can't have thought that that's all I wanted. The whole reason I suggested this whole stupid alternative prom wasn't about Jack. It was about you. All right, and maybe I tried too hard, but I didn't want to miss my chance to dance with you, to hold you, to make you remember what it was like between us. I thought maybe, you know, if I could make it perfect, then...
that I would pick you? Say it, Dawson. You thought if you orchestrated this whole evening that I would be convinced into picking you over Pacey, right?
I have to pick somebody, Joey. I just want to remind you what you'd be missing if you didn't pick me. Be missing a lot.
You were screaming in her face like 1 minute ago. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Who would miss this?
Missing is really elastic in this.
Oh, God.
I mean, she will be missing the constant manipulation, specious comments, your disgusting hair, mm-hmm. the screaming in her face. Like, yeah, missing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She will. Who wouldn't?
Oh, God. He adds that he would be missing out, too. He'd be missing everything. And then he steps into her personal space and kisses her and says that's how the evening was supposed to end. She doesn't look like it's what she expected or wanted, but he doesn't stick around to see her reaction because this is not really about her at all.
No.
At Graham's front door, Jen is still pissy and Henry still isn't helping his case, now asking why Jen made such a big deal about sex when she was planning on sleeping with him all along. Jen says she wasn't planning on anything. She thought that if it felt right, maybe they would, but it doesn't matter now. Clip 15.
Because of football camp? No, I hate it when you do this. You get extreme about the future of our relationship at the first sign of one of your insecurities.
This isn't about my insecurities, Henry. It's about your cowardice.
What?
And the fact that I planned our entire summer together and you weren't even thinking about spending any time with me. For the first time in my life, I made myself vulnerable to somebody. And now I just feel stupid.
Jen, my decision to go, it's got nothing to do with you.
Exactly. But if this were a real relationship, your choice for those 8 weeks, it would have had at least something to do with me. Good night, Henry.
Jen, I won't go through this again. I can't. This time there won't be any posters or grand declarations of my feelings towards you. You walk in that house, and it's not just good night. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, if only. Goodbye. I wish.
I mean, he's right, though.
He is right.
This is a deranged way to react to a, like, how are you betrayed by this when you did not tell him your summer plans either?
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're all teenagers. Everybody splits up for the summer. This is called life.
Right.
So dumb.
And then we're at the train station. And in case you forgot what year it is, there's a Fruitopia machine there.
Uh-huh.
Jack chases down Ethan to apologize. Ethan says he is sorry. Clearly, Jack wasn't ready for this. But Jack says that's just it. He doesn't know what this is. So maybe they should define that before they decide who's ready. I mean, again, Ethan, bro, you were the one who said you never asked anyone to anything like this. So are you ready? Seems like maybe you're not either.
Yeah, stop galing and just say what you do or don't want enough with the testing.
Wringing his hands, Jack says he doesn't think he was uncomfortable bringing a boy to prom. He was uncomfortable bringing someone who doesn't like him that way, the way that Jack likes Ethan. And we get this, clip 16.
Jack, I really like you. Why all the hurdles? And why this whole journey for us to be together when all you have to do is just lean over and kiss you? Yeah, something like that. Because, Jack, I don't want to kiss someone who isn't ready. And I don't know if you're ready, so I'm afraid you're going to have to kiss me first.
No, I didn't know that I couldn't.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Yeah, maybe you guess you're wrong. Maybe I am ready.
Okay, so here we are. Alone train station. No one around. No lights, no cameras, no network television to cut to commercial. It's just you and me. So kiss me, Jack. I dare you.
But he doesn't, because it's not the season finale until next week.
Mm-hmm.
On the boardwalk, Pacey tells Andy that when he invited her, he really thought it was because he wanted to go with her. But as soon as he got there, he realized, and Andy cuts him off because obviously she doesn't need to hear him say it. She's sorry it didn't work out for him, but at least he got to dance with Joey. And he's ready to do whatever it takes to make things up to Andy, but what she would need is something she doesn't think he could give her right now. He tells her his summer plan is to sail the True Love down to Key West, which he calls Hemingway-esque. He's leaving right after finals. Andy asks if he has told Joey how he feels. He says she knows. Andy says he doesn't just let things happen and he doesn't run away. He has to tell Joey he loves her and try to get her back, because if he doesn't, he will regret it. And the next day, Joey's clutching herself around the ribs as she trudges up to Dawson to return Gail's earrings. She's not sure they were her, but she had fun wearing them. By the way, Dawson is sitting in an Adirondack chair next to one with quite obvious bird poop on it, which you can see in the visual aids. Joey's not going to deny that she felt something when he kissed her. It was something she wasn't expecting, but that will probably always be there. She can't keep courting people and she can't choose, so she's telling him what she told Pacey. She's not ready and she can't. Dawson says he'll wait. She can call him an eternal optimist. Of all the things to call him, not that. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it's not it.
No, he has faith. Clip 17.
This whole year I've been in this soul-searching journey. And I feel like I finally come to the end. And what I found was you.
No one found you. No one's checking for you, bro. Give it up.
Yeah.
God. Anyway. Yeah.
Actually, what you found was yourself again. So just have a moment in your bunk and leave everyone else alone.
Well,
no, not going to happen.
Sadly, it's not, because that's when both kids glance up and see Gail hauling ass into the house. In the living room, she calls to Mitch, sits him down, and kneels in front of him. And Dawson and Joey creep inside as Gail tells Mitch that last night she wasn't ready to define their relationship. She's been afraid of making the same mistake twice, but she won't let that fear stop them being together anymore. So if their fate is to make the same mistakes all over again, she hopes they do it as well as they did the first time. He grips her hands and she asks if that's a yes. He says she didn't ask him a question. She says he knows the question, and he says she knows the answer, and they kiss. And Joey and Dawson look on, seeming hopeful. Why not? Sure. Let this be the end of the loop-de-loops, because it's enough, truly.
Yeah.
Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Fruitopia, underrated drink. I miss it.
I mean, I'm going to say Jack, because he looked cute. He was snarky. And I think the correct response to Ethan being like, I dare you to kiss me, Padawan, is to be like, I dare you to get on a train and lose my number, which is what Jack did. Right action, wrong reason. But, you know, also everyone else is really standing on my short hairs this week. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with Jack.
I mean, my real answer is Pacey, because I remember everything. It still works on me. Sorry.
Yeah. Fair. Fair.
Least valuable player.
Oh,
how could you do that to me is who you really are, Dawson Leary, and we hate who you really are. You're the worst.
Yeah. How could everyone else not also be doing that to you and worse all the time is the real question. Get bent. Next time on Again With This, the Lindley Ryan McPhee tour hits Cleveland and Boston with melodramatic and disappointing results, and Mitch and Gail renew their vows. And there was something else, something that basically invents the meme, as we understand it. It's probably not important. What is important is that you call or text us for a call-in episode, or honestly, for any reason, about any of the shows that we have covered. 210-767-2237. Ask us questions. Go on rants. We want to hear from you. If you would like to hear more from us, our entire episode archive is at againwiththispodcast.com, along with our visual aids for every episode. Come on through. We're open all night. I'm Crying Dawson Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Crying Dawson Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Crying T. Dawson. Talk to you next time.